This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Flame of love, enkindle in our hearts, enlighten our minds to recognize where our love has grown dim. Spark renewed in our hearts to give ourselves ever more completely to your service. Beam your grace through our being so we respond freely. May the fruits of your love be harvested through us that we will share them generously. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Pentecost, the birthday of the church, what a feast day. Of course, I asked my daughter, Noreen, if she would listen to this sermon last night and tell me what she thought, because she's pretty good about telling me what she thinks. Yes. And she said, actually, she thought it was okay, but I left something out. So I was trying to think of what I left out. So finally I said, well, what did I leave out? And she said, it's somebody else's birthday tomorrow, too. She's sitting here in the third pew. So, happy Pentecost, and happy birthday, Noreen. Mm-hmm. And happy birthday to the other people whose birthdays are this week, but not today. And, of course, we will bless all the birthday and anniversary people at the end of the month. But since hers comes at the beginning of the month, she really thought she should get honorable mention today. And since almost never does her birthday fall on Pentecost, I thought that was okay. But today we celebrate not only Noreen's birthday, but everybody's birthday. Everybody in this church has a birthday today because we are the church. When Jesus came, he came to renew and reform the mistakes that the rabbis were making in their interpretation of God's word. He really wasn't thinking about founding a church. It wasn't until after he died that the apostles and other people started saying, well, what do we do now? And this is what they did now. This day, the birthday of the church, is the fulfillment of the promise Jesus made to his disciples before his death. I will not leave you orphans. I will send the Paraclete. And this Paraclete, this Holy Spirit, is not just for the 12 or even for the hundreds of people who followed Jesus during his life, but for everyone, everyone. And that's why I say today is our own birthday. It's the birthday of all of us who are the church, because we are the church, not the building. We meet in the building as the apostles did and the 12 did and as Jesus did with them when he was alive to form our beloved community, but we are the beloved community only if we act as Jesus asked us to. And that was the promise that we try to follow every day in our lives. And we don't always succeed, but that's okay. We get up and we try again. Just picture it. Luke describes a motley group of disciples so impassioned with their sudden empowerment for mission that people thought they were drunk. The disciples themselves were awed by the fact that they could speak to Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, all of whom were Iranians, Mesopotamians, who were Iraqis, and Elamites, and Cappadocians and people from Pontus, Pamphylia, and Phrygia, Turkish people. Asians and people from Libya and Cyrene, who were Africans, not to mention the Romans. But these 12, mostly illiterate men, fishermen, preached to an international crowd, and everybody understood what they were saying. Now, we should note that this biblical gift, which we call the gift of tongues, is not what we today refer to as the gift of tongues. It's not a private gift in which a person suddenly, and without their own awareness, begins to utter sounds and speech which even they cannot understand. Now, I'm not saying that's not a true gift, understand, but it's a different gift than we're talking about here in the New Testament. Here, the obvious miracle was that they were able to speak about Jesus in their own Aramaic tongue in a way that attracted people of different cultures and tongues into a shared faith. They spoke in their own language. Everybody understood what they said in their own language. It's amazing. Community of genuinely diverse people. Women and men from every culture. They were beginning to become a Catholic, that is to say, universal community. A community that both Bishop Curry and Pope Francis have called the beloved community. In 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us that such a community is always a challenge for everyone concerned. I often wonder about cloistered nuns and monks because they live together in small groups for the rest of their lives once they take vows. And, you know, everybody's not as easy to get along with as some others are. But that is part of what they are called to and is part of what they strive to do. Not always perfectly, just like the rest of us, but they strive to do it, and that's what's important. It sounds so simple when Paul says it. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Paul goes on about different forms of service. His point is that those who share the diversity will become all they were created to be to the extent that each and every member strives to assure that everyone is called forth to contribute the best each has to offer for the good of all. That's every one of us. Everyone is called by God to contribute the best each of us has to offer for the good of all. And we all have something. We all have something. I can't sing, so I can't intone the gospel the way Father Almighty does. And I could spend the rest of the Mass saying, why can't I do that? Why can't I do that? Or I can say, well, that's his gift. Mine is liking his gift. But there's a gift. There's a gift for everybody, see? All right. The Acts story, the Acts of the Apostles. That's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, by the way, because it tells how this whole society, this whole world, eventually coalesced into this company of those who followed Jesus. The Acts story tells us that 3,000 people were baptized on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people. They thought they were in the Journey Church or someplace. But we need to remember that those 3,000 included those known today as Iranians, Iraqis, Turks, Asians, Africans, and Europeans, the known world of the New Testament. If the enthusiasm of the disciples hadn't been enough to make people question their sobriety, their conviction that such diverse people could form a community of love and service should have made others question their sanity. The Feast of Pentecost challenges our hope and faith. Each week we proclaim, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Pentecost asks us how deeply we mean that. Are we willing to let Christ's Spirit impassion and empower us? Are we willing to allow it? That's the question. It's there for all of us. But we have to welcome it in. Are we willing to let Christ's Spirit impassion and empower us? Are we willing to be led beyond our culturally comfortable worlds to form communities that include diversity and such different points of view that we will need and even learn enjoy exercising the charisms of humility, humor, and forgiveness. Now, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I saw on the internet somewhere, I don't think it was Facebook or something, apparently there are some nuns in the Bronx, New York, who had to give up their convent because the community was now elderly and they couldn't afford to hold that convent. So what they wanted to do was to partner with Habitat for Humanity and to provide housing for the working poor in that area of the South Bronx. Well, that started World War III. And the neighbors, all of whom good Catholics, I think, they all had these Irish names, I was thinking, oh no. But they took them to court. And it hasn't been settled yet, so who knows, but I have a feeling the nuns are gonna win. But in any case, all of these people wrote on the comments of that page the most awful, awful comments about the nuns and what they wanted to do to the Bronx. You know, and a lot has already been done to the Bronx, but this was a good thing. But the language they used was terrible, the descriptions they used was terrible, and I happen to know both the nuns and that area in the Bronx, most of it was not true. But there it was on the page for everyone to read. And we're supposed to be looking to help God build the beloved community. And to do that, we're supposed to exercise the charisms, the gifts of humility, humor, and forgiveness. There was none of that in any of those comments, none of that. And yet they were all written in very pious language, language that I, for one, would consider to be outrageously pious. And they didn't seem to realize the hypocrisy or that what they were doing and saying was completely contrary to what Jesus was doing and saying and what those nuns were trying to do for poor people in their neighborhood. The problem is that the Holy Spirit is not tame. And so we meet in Pentecost, the Holy Spirit that blows the doors of the building off, lights up the room like a candle or like a fireworks display, and has the disciples speaking such wondrous tongues that the crowd is bewildered and astounded. When people meet the disciples after Pentecost, they don't politely shake their hands and thank them for the lovely service. Why? But rather shake their heads and wonder if these people are drunk. Then Peter gets up and gives one of the all-time great opening lines in a sermon. He basically says, okay, I want to clear away some confusion right up front. We are not drunk. For heaven's sake, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning and the bars aren't even open yet. Later we might be drunk, but we're not drunk now. And then Peter goes on to talk about the Spirit turning the world upside down. It is strange and wonderful and somewhat scary. It is about the power of the Holy Spirit let loose in the world. And a people filled with the Spirit of God who have been empowered to change the world. Pentecost promises that it is worth the cost. So may the gift of the Spirit, which we commemorate today, renew each one of us, our homes, our workplaces, our parishes, our dioceses, the entire church, and the entire world. Amen.
Amen.